The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
If I were to sum up the message of Kabbalah in just a few words, I would have to say, only love is real. Or, if I had another choice, I would say, all you need is love. Because the essential message of the Kabbalah, which is really the essential message of Judaism in general, is that the whole theme of life and the theme of everyday living is always and only about love. The Kabbalah teaches us that the purpose of the universe is that God wanted to reveal His oneness. And that, in fact, is what we pray for every day when we recite the verse from the prophet part of the Aleinu prayer, where we say, "And on that day, God will be one, and His name will be one." Now, what does it mean that God will be one and His name will be one? Well, it means that God is one, was one, and always will be one, but His name is unfortunately not yet one. We don't call God, so to speak. We don't recognize, we don't describe the true meaning of God's oneness. So when the prophet describes that ultimate fulfillment of history, when God will be one and His name will be one, what he's referring to is a time where we will be conscious and we will experience the truth of God's oneness. It's important to understand that according to Kabbalah, history is really an evolving process of awareness or consciousness. What is, and always will be, but the question is, what do we perceive? How much of what is clear to us? So the Kabbalah tells us that the true nature of existence is divine oneness. All of reality is purely divine oneness. And when we recognize that truth, and we experience that truth, and we apply that truth to everyday living, we will have fulfilled the purpose of ourselves and the universe. But what does the real meaning of God's oneness, what does God's oneness really mean? The oneness of Hashem is really the oneness of love. When we say that God is one, we're not referring to the one in our dictionary, which is the opposite of many. When we say God is one and only, we don't mean only as in the dictionary, only and no other. Rather, the mystery of God's oneness is similar to the mystery of love. Love is a oneness that includes multiplicity. Love is a oneness that can include others while remaining one. That's the mystery of love. And when Judaism says that God is one, and when Judaism says that the whole meaning of history is the manifestation of this oneness, or our recognition and our experience of that oneness, essentially what it's really saying is the whole drama is about love. The story of life is love story. And that's what it's all about. So the Kabbalah starts off with this kind of metaphysical description of existence. It says, in the beginning, all of existence was endless light. And what is the nature of this endless light, this divine light? The nature of this light is an achdus pashut, a simple oneness. Okay? A simple oneness. It then says that God withdrew His light from the center, creating a space. And within that space or that void or vacuum, God created vessels. Vessels which are very different than light. Vessels receive, light gives. The vessels represent otherness. And there are many vessels. The vessels represent multiplicity. In other words, within the light of God, this light of oneness, God creates a place, a space, accommodating the possibility of vessels, which symbolize the existence of otherness and the existence of multiplicity. The Kabbalah then says a very paradoxical comment and says that although the light surrounds this vacuum, encompasses these vessels, the light still fills the vacuum, fills everything. It's as if the light moved and yet it didn't move, it didn't move and yet it did move. It's a paradox. What really is this mystical picture all about? It's really the picture of love, right? When you love somebody, what is the real power of love? It's the ability to make a space in your life for somebody else. You remove yourself from the center and create a place for someone other than yourself, right? And that is really what the whole story of Judaism is all about. The whole story of Judaism, which is really the whole story about the universe, is how God, so to speak, makes a place within himself for you and me, and creates the opportunity for us to experience this miraculous encounter with the power of love, which is the power of God, which is the power to manifest this miraculous oneness that can include other, that can include multiplicity and plurality, while somehow mysteriously remaining one. That's the power, that's the secret, that's the miracle of love. I love you, you love me, and yet even though I'm not you and you're not me, there's this oneness that envelops us, there's this oneness that permeates us, and we experience the joy of love. I would then suggest that this is why we actually talk about love as being in love. What do you mean you're in love? I don't think too many times we talk about being in hate, right? But we do talk about being in love. Because the truth is that love is the light of God. And the truth is that we exist within God. There's actually a verse in the Tehillim that says, Anochi Esmach Bahashem, I will rejoice in God. When a person realizes that the very reality where in which they exist is God, that God isn't some being floating in outer space over there, and we are over here, but we exist within God, and God seeks to become manifest through us, and that ultimately there's only God, only that oneness. That is the greatest, greatest secret and the greatest, greatest joy in our love. To feel that we are in love with each other, in love with God. But when you're in love with God, what you're actually doing is experiencing yourself within a greater reality that embraces you, that you might say hugs you, and yet simultaneously fills you. So if I were to say, in just a few words, the message of Kabbalah and the power it wants to communicate to us, it's really all about love. That only love is real, because only the oneness of God is real, and when we experience God's oneness, how God both encompasses us and fills us, that experience emotionally would be translated into the word love. And the more we love each other, the more we tap that mysterious ability to connect with someone very different than ourselves. And the more we love the world and the more we love God, the more we actually draw that light of love into our lives and experience that joy. And that is, in the simplest, simplest way, what Judaism is all about. It's about loving God. It's about loving each other. The rest is commentary. How does one love God and truly feel one with God? And how do we love each other and truly feel one with each other? One with each other within the oneness of God? And then the rest is commentary. The rest of Judaism is all about that. Now, unfortunately, I have been critiqued. You know, I've been criticized that I sound somewhat Christian, that a rabbi talks about love, love, love. And I've heard Christians say that Judaism is the religion of law, but Christianity is the religion of love. But Judaism does not accept that. Judaism is the religion of love, but within love, there are many rules. There are rules to love. There are things that we do that truly manifest the oneness that embraces us and fills us, manifests God, manifests that loving presence of God. And then there's things that we do that conceals that oneness between ourselves and God, and that oneness between ourselves and each other. So there are laws, there are rules. There are do's and there are don'ts. There are do's, how to reveal the loving presence of God that permeates and envelops everything. And there are don'ts, which are acts which cover up this, that really hide this unbelievable truth. But the truth is God is one. The truth is that we are one with God. And the truth is that we are one with each other. The only question is, do we know that? Do we feel that? Do we celebrate that every single day? And then the question is, how do we access this experience? What is it? What do we have to do? And what should we refrain from doing so that we can truly experience what was real, what is real, and what will only ever be real, which is God's oneness, which is the experience of love. Okay, so according to the Kabbalah, all of existence is this light of divine oneness. And when we experience that light, what we experience is the joy of love. We experience that connection between ourselves and a greater reality, or the greatest ultimate reality, God, and that joy of that connection between each other. And actually, it is God that is the glue, so to speak, that connects us all together. Okay, all together. The greatest manifestation of God's oneness and the power of God's presence in the universe is the love between a man and a woman. Because a man and a woman are total opposites, and it is absolutely illogical that a man and a woman should ever be able to make a life together. Because they are not only physically differently, but they are incredible difference psychologically. In just so many ways are men and women different. And the chances of these two very different creatures uniting in matrimony for a very long time really is beyond reason. And yet our sages teach us that the word for man is ish, and the word for woman is isha. And what these two words share are two letters which is the same, which is the Aleph and the Shin, but two letters that are different, which is the Yud and the He. Aleph and Shin spells fire. In the name Ish for man, you have an Aleph, then a Yud, and then a Shin. And for the woman, you have an Aleph, Shin, He. Okay? So our sages teach us that if we take out the Yud and the hay from the man and the woman, we are left with only the letters that spell fire. In other words, when a man and a woman, our sages teach us, is missing the presence of God, the name of God is the Yud and the hay, that's one of the names for God, then they become a fire that devours each other. Okay? But when a person brings that loving presence of God into their marriage, into their relationships, then even opposites can unite, because that's the amazing power of God's truth. The truth of God's oneness, which is really the same thing as saying the truth of divine love, is the ability to include opposites and yet unite opposites at the same time. It's the miracle of love. What can we say? It's the miracle of love. And therefore, the Kabbalah tells us that the light of love is all that's real, and our chore in life is to think, speak, and act in ways which will acknowledge that permeating truth, that will acknowledge that loving presence, and then we will in fact experience that loving presence. Now the Kabbalah tells us that the light of God, somewhat like natural light, breaks up into a spectrum. Even though white light is white light, when it goes through a prism, suddenly you see a spectrum of colors. And so too the Kabbalah teaches us that within this one light of God is, so to speak, a spectrum of colors, which we could describe as, let's call it, the ingredients or the qualities of love. And those, the spectrum of God's light actually breaks up into what's called 10 sefirot, 10 divine attributes. The attribute of Keter, will, Chachma Bina, which is wisdom and understanding, Dat, which is knowledge, Chesed, which is kindness, Gvura, which is judgment or power, Tiferet, which is beauty or truth, Netzach, which is mastery, Hod, which is, Hod could mean spontaneity, Yesod, which is foundation or peace, and then Malchus, which is referred to as kingdom. And I know what I just shared doesn't really mean much, right? But I'm just sharing with you to understand that in Jewish mysticism we have what's described as 10 divine powers. But the truth is these 10 divine powers are really 10 colors within the spectrum of that one light of love. And what we can deduce from the teachings of the Kabbalah is really the recipe for love. If we can embody within ourselves these 10 attributes, then we will be a medium for the light of love to come pouring through us and being more and more revealed in the world. One of the basic concerns of Judaism is to acknowledge the presence of God. See, Judaism starts with a premise. The presence of God, that oneness that envelops us and fills us, is here right this very second. And there's absolutely nothing that you can do to in any way change that truth. That is an unchanging truth. We are one with God, God is one with us, and we are one with each other, and that is a fact, an unchanging fact. Okay? That is unchanging fact. The problem is, do we recognize that fact? Are we aware of that fact? Do we experience that fact? For instance, you know, the world is filled with colors. But if a person is colorblind, then they live in a world with no color. Right? Well, I have a friend who unfortunately has some kind of a disease, which is has damaged her taste buds. And therefore, she really tastes nothing. You know, she eats and she actually is not able to taste any of the food. Now imagine she lives in a tasteless world. Okay? Now even though the world is filled with flavor, she does not have the ability to experience that flavor. So too, even though the world is filled with the loving presence of God that surrounds us, fills us, unites us, that's all that there really is, and that's all that will ever eternally be. The question is, do we have a lifestyle that enables us to acknowledge that truth every day of our lives? Therefore, when you have ritual, people do not realize how rich ritual really is. The rituals, for instance, for myself, you know, to wake up in the morning and acknowledge God and thank God for waking me up and saying, Moda ani lefanecha, thanking I am before you, Melech Chai v'Kayam, King who is alive and established, Shechazar to be nishmati b'chemla, Rabbi munotecha, right? For you have returned to me, my soul, great is your faith. I mean, that is an incredibly powerful experience. To wake up every day and acknowledge, right, the gift of life, that God is right this very second waking you up, this very second giving you the gift of life, right? That's a very powerful truth. Now I want you to know that everybody wakes up in the morning only because God that very day grants them the gift of life. But not everybody sees that, not everybody feels that, and not everybody celebrates that. And that's what's so sad, right? That's what's so sad. This very second, God is beating our hearts. It's not me that's beating my heart. I'm not the source of life. I can't turn my heart off and on. That means at this very second, I live with God, right? And only by the grace of God. But I forget that. You know, how many times do people remember the miracle of their heart beating? When they get sick, when the doctor puts a stethoscope up to the chest, and suddenly they start to think about the miracle of that which always was, the mystery of life, right? So every beat of your heart is God, so to speak, not tapping you on the shoulder, but tapping you on your heart, saying, I love you, I'm with you, we are one. And do you have a ritual way, a regular way of acknowledging that truth and being enthralled by it, right? Eating kosher means that I acknowledge that God is part of my diet, right? And it doesn't really matter. We could come up with all these beautiful philosophies why this is kosher and why this is not kosher. But the very fact that when I eat, I take God into consideration, and I would not put in my mouth something that God has asked me not to put in my mouth, that is a very powerful conscious building exercise that reminds me who I am and who I'm connected to and why I am at all. And we could go on and on and on and on and on. But all of Judaism is a consciousness building exercise to acknowledge God's presence in our life, in our homes, in our office, in our kitchen, in our restaurants, on our subways, whatever it may be, right? We have a way to fill ourselves up with this incredible ecstatic truth of our connectivity to God and our connectivity to others through God. To ultimate reality, we are speaking to the one who created the sun and the moon and the cosmos and all those. I remember I was in a zoo and I read the sign next to this little aquarium with ants, and it talked about how many thousands of different kinds of ants there are. I said, wow, I mean, the power that created this universe, the power that created our eyeballs and our eardrums and our hearts and our DNA, that very power we are engaging in a personal direct relationship with. If you actually believe that and felt that, your life would change within 1 second, and we would find the power within ourselves to rise to any challenge, right? And that's what we're trying to do. But our mind really resists this truth because it's so overwhelming to think that the ultimate reality is relating to me and actually cares about me and is not only in my face, right, but is revealed through my face to others. Like, wow. The truth is that mind and emotion is a conceptual dissection of the human being. That's kind of like the same thing about our nose and our ears. You see, where does the nose begin and where do the ears begin? It's been a conceptual dissection of the human face, as if there's a place where nose starts and cheeks, nose ends, cheeks begin, cheeks end, and ear starts, right? There is a continuum. And so too, the idea of mind and the idea of emotion are really different manifestation of the totality of the human being. And therefore, it's really, you know, we have to approach it all with the totality of who we are. Where does emotion begin? Where does, you know, intelligence end? That is just a human conceptualization. But in the end, there's really one continuum, and that continuum is ultimately God and ourselves, so to speak, imprinted within that continuum. And we need to employ the totality of ourselves in order to experience truth. The Kabbalah teaches us that the ingredients of love is really the total 10 powers manifesting God's truth, which is wisdom. You need a lot of wisdom to love somebody, right? Many relationships break down because the people did not apply wisdom. They only applied emotion, right? But sometimes emotions aren't there, and now we have to apply wisdom, you know, how to awaken our relationship. And it takes tremendous understanding. So love is not really an emotion. Love is a total mind, emotion, body experience. And only when we have all those, the colors of the spectrum of the light of God's love, can we really experience the totality of love.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990 or in Jerusalem at country code 972-2-627-4890. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.